It is the middle of the work week here on God Is, and we're just at the beginning of our exploration of the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1. I'm glad you are here. As I have said, whenever I dig into a new book or a new chapter or other expansive section of the Word of God, I ask and answer seven initial questions. We can call these the what, who, why, when, where, how, and so what. Since we are going to be in Revelation 1 for a while, as we answer the question, what does God look like, with God looks like Jesus, then it is beneficial if we know the what, who, why, when, where, how, and so what of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And yesterday we answered the first three questions, the what, the who, and the why. That brings us to the when. When was the revelation originally written? This is a question you can and must ask of every single one of the books of the Bible, and the answer can be found. Sometimes the sound scholarship points us to a short range of dates, and that is the case here. John transcribed what he witnessed in the Revelation between the years 94 and 96 AD. This was in the first century. We're now in the 21st century, so we're trucking back a very long time. And yet these words are as applicable today as they were in 94 to 96 AD. And when we read both biblical and non-biblical history, we learn this was a crucial century for the Church of Jesus Christ. Domitian was the Roman emperor who ruled from 81 to 96 AD and initiated a harsh persecution of the Church, which included the author of this book, the Apostle John. In fact, Domitian banished John to exile. Scholars Feen, Baim, and Kummel, in their introduction to the New Testament, write, "The picture of the time the apocalypse sketches coincides with no epoch of the primitive history as well as with the period of Domitian's persecution." And apocalypse is another title for the revelation. Other trustworthy early church fathers claimed this as well, men like Irenaeus, Eusebius, Clement of Alexandria, Origen, and Jerome. So our date is between 94 to 96 AD. We have already established the Apostle John as the author, and this is when he wrote it. And that brings us to our next question. I have seven, and this is number five. Where? The text itself tells us. Listen now to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. "I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." You heard the where? The island called Patmos. And let me tell you a little bit about this island. It's located to this very day in the Aegean Sea. It's about 6 miles wide and 10 miles in length. It's volcanic. And it is technically in the nation of Greece, but close to the coast of Turkey. Have you been there? If so, drop me a quick email and let me know. I have not. I've been to Greece and Turkey many times, but not yet to Patmos. This is where John was when he received the revelation, wrote it down, and sent it to the churches. And while we are on the question of where, we already know where the seven churches mentioned in this book are located. Verse 11 says Ephesus and Smyrna, and to Pergamum and to Thyatira, and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Those are real places. You can also go visit those today, which is something I have done. They're unforgettable. In fact, sometime we ought to organize a group and go together. If you're interested in that, drop me an email or a note to my P.O. box and let me know. Mark at markaswallow.com and God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. What is great about answering the where question in Scripture is that the locations we read about still exist. All we need is an airplane, a car or a bus, and a good pair of sneakers or boots. The same is true here. John was on the island called Patmos. Well, so far, yesterday and today, we've answered the what, who, why, when, where of Revelation. And now we come to the sixth question, how? A very important question to ask when you are studying a particular book of the Bible is, how is this truth stated? And the answer for Revelation is that this is prophecy. The revelation of Jesus Christ is largely a prophetic book. And by prophecy, I mean divinely revealed truth about the future. That is, God reveals to human persons something that's true about the future, which has not happened yet, but will happen exactly as God says it will. And prophecy is the genre of the revelation. This is particularly true of chapters 4 to 22. Chapters 1 through 3, as we shall see when we move this week into the details, deals with that which has already taken place or is ongoing. But starting in chapter 4 and verse 1, all the way to the end of the book, is about our future, as well as the future for the Apostle John and the first century Christians to which he wrote. Prophetic writing in the scripture does this. The prophecy has an element of what is local and for the time that the prophet was speaking, and then that which is predictive of the future. John wrote to a local situation in chapters 2 and 3, and then he writes about the future in international global time in chapters 4 to 22, the very end of the book. And we will see this in greater detail, but right now I'm in the introduction and I'm answering 7 questions. And we come now to the final one. So what? This is the question of practical relevance, and I can just hear it now. When I say that we will be reading and studying Revelation 1, the question of relevance is raised. What does the revelation have to do with my life? You're caught up in the details of another Wednesday, stuck in some traffic, wanting to get to work or home from work. You're struggling with someone or something. Maybe your relationship to Christ has gone cold or seems non-existent. There's a lot happening in the present. So what does a book about the future have to say to me? Let me answer this in 2 ways. First, the revelation is relevant to you if you're a Christian. Second, Revelation chapter 1 is about who Jesus is now, at present. And this is the Jesus who tells us what God looks like today. By reading, correctly interpreting, and understanding this chapter, you will find Jesus who is relevant to any and everything you're dealing with in your personal life. As a Christ follower, you have to know through and through Jesus as he is described in this chapter. We're going beyond the Gospels now and the life of Christ here on earth to the ongoing and everlasting life of Christ in heaven. So lift your eyes to heaven and see here our Lord as perhaps you have not seen him before. Just now, hear again the words of verses 1 and 3. Revelation 1 verse 1 reads, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place." If you are a Christian, then you are a bondservant of Christ. As I wrote in the margin of my Bible next to the words bondservant, that's me. This book is written for me. Talk about relevance. The God of the universe and my Lord wants me, his slave, to know what is written here. Oh, I've got to believe that whatever he has to say is going to address my personal circumstances in this harsh world in which I live and move and have my being. And having already studied this majestic book, I can tell you from personal experience, it is relevant for the here and now. And then listen to Revelation 1 and verse 3. "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near." Do you want to be blessed, happy, joyful? Then read this and hear this and do what it says. The time is near. Let's heed the words of the revelation in our ordinary lives now. I pray the Holy Spirit will help us to understand what God has preserved for us in his holy and infallible revelation, and that he will make it relevant to you. Now, having asked and answered my 7 initial questions that I ask at the start of all Bible studies, let me make 4 additional introductory comments about the revelation of Jesus Christ. These comments will also give you a sense for where we are going on God Is. My first comment is this. I intend to teach all 20 of the verses of Revelation chapter 1. I will not spend the same amount of time on each verse, but by the end of our discussion, if you hear every broadcast and podcast, you will know the chapter well. That is my desire. My second comment plays off of this. I will only cover chapter 1. As tempted as I am to reach into all 22 chapters, or maybe to do chapters 1 through 3, or selections of other aspects of the book, we simply do not have the time to do so, at least now. Remember what's before us. We want to know what God looks like. He looks like Jesus, and Revelation 1 tells us what Jesus looks like. So that's our focus. Having said that, if you desire more as I move along, write to me and tell me. This will help me plan for the future. Third, I have what we call a futurist view of the Revelation. There are basically four ways to interpret this text. Let me give these to you briefly. There is the preterist view. This is the view that the events of the Revelation have already taken place, beginning with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Second, there is the historical view. This would be to say the Revelation is an overview of church history, describing seasons of tribulation that have happened or are happening in the church. Oftentimes, adherents to this view turn the Bible into mere allegory at this point. Third is the idealist view. People who adhere to this say Revelation is not historical or predictive, but rather symbolic of the struggle between good and evil, God and Satan. Here, the Revelation turns into a myth that conveys some spiritual truth. And that leaves us the fourth, and I believe correct view, the futurist. This is where I stand. I read the Revelation literally and as descriptive in chapters 4 to 22 of actual future events. What God describes here through his son Jesus to the angel and on to John is exactly what will happen in the future. Absolute precision, straight from God to us. And that brings me to my fourth and final introductory comment. Just as God has told us accurately about the past and the present, so too he tells us down to the finest detail about the future. And of course he does. We can trust him completely with the future. I'll pick up on this thought and start here tomorrow. But for now, you have my introductory questions and answers, as well as some additional comments. Tomorrow, we will dig right into the Revelation chapter 1 to see Jesus in all his glory. So come on back tomorrow as we continue to learn who God is.